I was really blessed to grow up in a God-fearing family with a wonderful teaching father who spoke to us constantly about the work of the Holy Spirit in the soul, and a very praying mother. My dad would read Pilgrim's Progress to us every Sunday evening, and we'd ask him all kinds of questions, but it was all nominal on my part. When I was 9 years old, I had some very deep convictions. God answered a particular prayer for me. And I started reading good books, reading the Bible. I felt my sins. In fact, I went to my dad's bookcase and I combed it to see if there's any book that was for me. And I saw a book called The Life and Death of Mr. Badman by John Bunyan. I thought, well, that's for me. I'm a bad boy. And so I read that whole book when I was 9 years old. But it all left. It was all the common impressions. And then when I was 14, I was in ninth grade, and I went to a public school, actually. And there was a teacher that put on the board, "There is no God." I don't even know if it's lawful to do that, but he signed his name, J. Kaler. And he said, "You give me 3 minutes, and I'll prove to you there's no God. And you can have the rest of the hour as students to prove that there is a God." And I had just at that point in time begun to challenge some of my dad's assertions at home. I wasn't rebellious, but getting a little bit inquisitive. And this man gave the whole typical thing about, you know, how could God be good and kind and have all these 6 million Jews killed and so on. And so there's no God. And I found myself standing up and saying, But they said, "Let his blood be upon us and our children." They crucified the Lord of glory. And I said, "God is good, even if we can't understand it." And he looked at me and he said, "Well, why don't you come and talk after class, and we'll go on with our lesson now." And it was the end of the discussion. And after class, I was arguing for God with him. But I walked out of school and I said to myself, "Who are you anyway? What do you believe? You start to argue with your dad at home against the things of God, and you're arguing for God at school. What do you believe?" And strangely, that became a crisis for me. And my brother and a friend were going out west. He was 17, my brother, and my friend was 20, and I was only 14. We went out west on a camping trip for 4 weeks, and I thought if I could just go with them and see nature, I'd be convinced of God, and God would do something for me. So I talked my parents into letting me go at 14 years of age. I still can't believe they did it. And I went with them for 4 weeks. I went through the mountains. I prayed in front of the mountains, but nothing happened. And then we came to Yellowstone National Park. One condition was, I grew up in a very conservative church, and my parents said, "You've got to be in one of our churches every Sunday." So we had 700 miles to go from Yellowstone to northwest Iowa. And we couldn't find our keys that morning. It sounds like a very trivial thing, but we just couldn't find our keys, and we overturned the sleeping bags, and nothing was there. And finally, we decided that they must be in the trunk somehow. So my brother and friend went in the woods to get a stick to try to open the trunk. And I went back in the tent and just fell on my face and asked God. I put out like a Gideon fleece, really, and said, "If thou art the living God, and thou wilt speak to me, show me where these keys are." And I get up, I felt something underneath my knees, and it was hard. And I looked, and there were the keys, and we had lifted it up. But what happened at that moment was unspeakable. I just felt a flood of conviction like nothing I ever experienced before. God is the living God, and you have not loved Him. You have not served Him. I got in the back seat of the car, and for those 700 miles, I just wept the whole way. I just instantly became a lost sinner before God. And I came back home, and I said to my friends, I can't be your friends anymore. I need to find God. I mean, someday maybe, but I've got to find God. And I just started reading the Bible every night, reading sound Reformed Orthodox literature till 1 o'clock most mornings. My mother would call up the steps at 11 o'clock, say, "Turn out your lights, time to go to bed." I'd turn them out. I'd look over the banister when the crack of light on the bottom was gone. I'd go back in my room because I knew they were in bed. I'd turn the light back on and just keep reading. I had to find God. And the gospel wasn't offered terribly freely at that time, and I couldn't find relief in church, so I just kept reading. I devoured all the Puritans in my dad's bookcase. I marked them up. I read them. They were comforting to my soul, but I didn't have relief. I didn't have spiritual liberty. I went for 18 months that way. And then I read Thomas Boston's Human Nature in its Fourfold State and saw my original sin, that my whole life was wrong. And I remember trying to just please God every day, trying to get a little better, a little better. And then the day came where God showed me, you've never a single moment in your entire life loved God above all, and never a single moment have you loved your neighbors yourself. Every tick of the clock, you've been sinning. You've got millions of sins. You can never reform your life. And God used Boston to convince me of my original sin, my total inner depravity and rebellion. And I can still see the spot at high school in 10th grade where I was walking along the sidewalk. I just saw that to reform myself was absolutely impossible. My only hope was outside myself, but I couldn't believe that Jesus Christ could be for me. And then I thought, I'm a reprobate. God has given me the best home in all the world, and I'm just a reprobate vessel, and He's against me. And I walked with that for a couple of months. I actually was afraid to walk on grass for a while because I thought I'd be swallowed up like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And then God sent a minister to us. First time we had a minister in 41 years. And he came over to our house, and the whole family was gathered around the circle. My grandfather struggled with a lot of doubts and fears, and he said to him, "For you too, Mr. Van Strien, there's a possibility of a way of escape in Christ Jesus." And it just overwhelmed me. It was like spoken directly to me. I didn't know the terms passive or active obedience, but that's what happened at that moment. I saw that Christ obeyed the law for me, that He bore my sins. And so all the objections against God's justice, which I was struggling with, were taken away. And by grace, I believed. And I went to bed that night, and my hands were just up in the air praising God. I was just weeping till 3 in the morning. I couldn't stand it. I was so overwhelmed with joy that I came down and I woke my dad up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, "Dad, I've been saved. I've been saved." He goes, "What?" He comes stumbling out. I said, "I've been saved." He goes, "Now, wait a minute." He said, "How, you know, what happened?" So I told him, and he said, "Well, I can count on one hand the people in the church that know Christ in this way, so you got to be careful." He kind of put a damper on it. But it was so real to me that, and up to that time, I had been very shy. I didn't dare speak to people about anything. And so what I did was I was so overwhelmed with the love of God, I just began speaking to everyone. I lost my shyness, and I just spoke to people at work. People, I went down the street. I just knocked on people's doors and wanted to tell them about Jesus Christ.